Hey, folks, and welcome to this week's podcast. My wife asked me, how did your interview with the Dolmans go? And I thought about it, and I said, you know, they were charming. And it's not a word I always think of when I interview folks. This is husband and wife, Team Andre and Lene Dolman. And all the way from Norway, they have been music fans, obviously, their whole lives. Music obsessives, really. And they sort of turned that love and that dedication and the time it takes to sort of collect records and listen to records so much into something very special. A band that writes great songs, picks great songs to cover, and does them in their own style. And a band that has evolved, as is this new record called Life in Reverse. Definitely a new side for the band. So we're going to talk about all of that, get into all of that as we speak to the Dolmans here. You can check out their website. I think the best place to send you is Facebook, facebook.com/the Dolmans or fabcomrecords.com, their American label, if you need more information or to pick up a copy. And I hope you enjoy this, my chat all the way from Norway with the Dolmans. So there are the Dolmans, and I think I have the Dolmans on the phone. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Good morning.
Good morning, all the way from Norway. So let's start with something that's fresh news. I want to talk about your new album, Life in Reverse. But first, I want to thank you for recording the wonderful version of the Adam Schlesinger song for the new fundraising CD that we did. Tell me about, you know, how did that song get on your radar, and, you know, why you picked that song out of all the songs you could have chosen?
That's quite a long story, because that song has been on the list for stealing for many years, and I haven't been able to find a way to do it. And when I saw it on the list, it was a no-brainer. It's just a great song, and we're both fan of America, and especially Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah, I agree. The combination of America and Fountains of Wayne is not something maybe that's the first idea in your head, but it was a perfect pairing, and your cover was so great. You guys over the years have covered so many great artists, so I'm wondering, growing up in Norway, is access to music just as easy as it is for me, or do you have to do a little bit more digging?
Well, I have never been living in the States, so I can't answer that, but I guess it's the same. Growing up with record stores when I was a kid, and lately it's been the internet and, you know, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube and stuff like that.
But the lifelong love affair with all sorts of music, anything that's worth listening to, and especially, like you said, going to record stores as a kid, collecting singles and LPs throughout the years. Yeah.
If you get hooked on something, you just seek for it. So I guess that's what we've been doing all our lives since we got hooked on music.
Sure, that makes perfect sense. So were, you know, I don't know, when you went to high school, were the kids listening to whatever was on the top 40 in Norway? Or was there a group of people, you know, like listening to the Paul Collins beat or the Ramones or, you know, Amy Rigby, things like that, that maybe weren't on the regular radio?
Majority was listening to the top 40 or something like that. But both Lena and me were in, what are you going to call it? Small group of independent music, in garage rock, punk rock, power pop, indie rock and stuff like that. So it's a small community, but a good one, I guess.
You know, in my high school, the same. There was people who, like me, were listening to maybe music outside of the top 40. And once a kid punched me in the face because he said, hey, you're punk rock, and punched me in the face. So was there a sort of face punching going on in Norway, or were you accepted?
Not that much, actually. Primarily by me, because if you didn't like Ramones, I hated you.
I can recall when I was maybe 11, 12 years old, There were this older guy who was really into music in the neighborhood. And at that time, I was trying to look like Kim Wilde. Do you remember Kim Wilde?
Oh, sure.
That was sort of the ideal woman for me. And, and this guy came up to me and said, "You really look like Iggy Pop." That was a punch in the face, but after that, still it's now it was a compliment. so around that time was probably the time when I discovered other types of music. Around 12 years old, I think
we were looked at as not misfits or freaks, but outsiders if you didn't did the mainstream thing. So I guess it was the same as you experienced in high school, that you were kind of a bit weird if you didn't follow the masses.
Yeah. I remember when you guys played in New Jersey a few years ago, and Lena, you said that you didn't know you could sing. I think you said something like that. You just one day, I think Andre just said, "Now you're going to sing," or something like that. So tell me how you guys decided to turn like being fans of music into, hey, let's start a band. How did that happen?
Well, that was actively persuasion from Andre's side. I was more into music than I was into hanging out with friends, to be honest. There was always music was always the big thing in my life, but I was also very, very introverted and shy. So standing in front of people and singing out loud was just not something I considered. But then eventually, he tricked me into going to the studio with him to record Amy Rigby's "Dancing with Joey Ramone,"
and that whole day rolled.
And the Lindsey Buckingham song as well.
And once that whole day rolled came out, it was kind of no turning back because it got quite popular.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you're a fantastic singer, and I'm glad he was able to bribe you or whatever he did, threaten you to.
He's very persuasive.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, the version of that Amy Rigby song is 100% perfect, so thank you so much. So let's go to current day. You've got a brand new album just out, and it's called Life in Reverse. So I was doing some reading, some interviews you guys have done. Explain why that title is right for this album.
I wrote the album three times and threw the songs away because the songs didn't feel right. Because I was kind of writing for what I thought people would want to hear. And one day I just showed Lena a song I've been working on for years. And from that on, we just made songs we wanted to make for ourselves. And it turned out to be influenced by bands from we were kids till now. So that's Life in Reverse, going from now till we were kids in the music history.
For me, my parents listened to a lot of folk music and music that has influenced me in ways that maybe aren't conscious, but it's definitely there in the back of my brain. Things that I didn't choose, you know, things that was there stuff like that? Is there like Norwegian music from your parents' generation that has seeped into your brain?
Absolutely. My dad is a Elvis fanatic and a huge fan of the Beatles and Herman Hermits, Beach Boys, Roy Orbison, and stuff like that. So always growing up listening to that sort of music, and a band called Sven Ingemors from Sweden. It's a pretty good band, and Hep Stars. So he also played in a rock band when he was a kid, so I guess I got it from him.
Yeah, my father did as well. He used to play a classical sort of guitar. The first single that I sort of inherited from him was Rolling Stones' "Get Off My Cloud," a 45, which I really liked when I was a kid. So yeah, absolutely,
it's a good song.
Yeah, it is.
It's a great song. So I would say that you guys often, if people put you in a, you know, a simple description, they often call Dolmens a power pop band. Do you agree that that is like a fair name, a fair tag to put on you guys?
Nope.
well, yes, it is and fair. No.
when we started, it's absolutely a power pop band, and my history with previous band, it's been in the power pop genre, but after the last 10 years, I would say we're more not a classic rock band, but just a rock band.
We have different influences. Like we listen to a lot of country music. We listen to pub rock. We listen to
Nick Cave, anything and stuff like that. Like Gun Club, Cramps.
We have a wide
Even Suicide is a favorite. So
Yeah, I definitely think this new album shows a wider range of influences than your previous work. I think so. Tell us how many singles and EPs you guys have put out over the years.
Oh boy, I think we have 17 vinyl singles out, and one mini LP and two LPs.
Yeah. Yeah, two full albums, one mini album, and 16 or 17 singles.
Yeah.
Yes, it makes it very hard for collectors to get the full discography.
And most of them are on three or four different colors as well.
Because that's what we used to love when we were kids growing up. We loved to go on and collect for these special stuff. Yeah.
And I got a call today from a guy which asked, just the album comes out in different colors. I said, yeah, it will be a European version in white vinyl. Gotta have it. So I guess it's working.
Yes, it's working. Yeah, I think the first album was re-released with lots of bonus tracks. So some things have been made a little bit easier recently. But it's fun. And I like that you guys are sort of have been in some ways a singles band. You know, you make these very poppy singles and then move on. So I don't know how big you are in Norway. How popular are the Dolmens at home?
Until the recent album, not that much, actually. We have a name, of course, but we haven't done any promotion or we hardly played in Norway. We focused on Europe and the few tours within the States. So with this album, we have turned the focus to do some Norway gigs, and it turned out that people knew us and liked us. So I guess we have a name, but I'm not sure how popular we are yet. But we're listed on national radio, so I guess something in the middle.
Yeah. And why not sing in Norwegian? Why sing in English?
Mostly because the bands we've been listening to since we were kids were in English. And I think it's easier to write with a distance in a foreign language than to write in your own language, which is kind of stupid, but it's true.
Sadly. Oh, absolutely.
So we've been talking to some writers in Norway to work with us to write some lyrics and maybe do Life in Reverse in Norwegian or Swedish. So we'll see. But I think rock and roll is an English-spoken thing, mainly.
I think that's the answer I was looking for, yeah.
And also, it sort of feels like extremely intimate to write songs in the Norwegian language, and also it's Norwegian, both people and the language is a little bit restricted. So expressing yourself would probably come across as being too much.
Yeah, and for example, if you say "I love you" in English, that's okay. If you say "I love you" in Norwegian, you probably get a hit in the face.
I don't understand. You don't say that to your wife, to your mother, your father, your kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. For people that you know, but it's kind of not common to say it in a normal conversation. It's something we don't say.
We're soft-spoken people up here in the north. It's It's quiet, yeah. And it's a little bit restricted.
We show our love by making distance to each other and by food.
Yeah, okay. We're great at distancing.
And so to write a song, is something that comes quickly or something that you agonize over or somewhere in between?
The songs comes quickly. The good ones comes not that fast. I make songs every day, and I work with them, and I play them to Line, and Line says, we can do that, or nah, not that one. So I make, let's say I make 40 songs, and five of them comes out as a project.
That, you make that sound very, very, like a...
It's true.
I tend to take my time with lyrics. I don't feel like a writer at all, and so I need to really make myself work with the lyrics.
Is it a hard position to be in to have to tell Andre not this one?
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to say I would like to be a positive person, but he has so much creativity in his brain, and he's very impatient. He likes to do things fast. I'm the complete opposite. I like to take my time, and he hates waiting, and so there's a balance there.
I think it's a good combination, because if we're doing it in my tempo, it will be a lot of crappy songs out there.
Yeah, it does sound like a good balance. I agree. So will we see the Dahlmans in the United States anytime soon?
Are we live on air?
Yes.
Could I be the one talking now?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the diplomatic side of the Dahlmans. Well, there's a certain political temperature in the States right now that we really feel like we don't want to be a part of. So, as for traveling now, not so much. But as soon as things have turned around or changed a bit, then absolutely, we would love to come back.
Well, I respect your position, but people in America need to go enjoy good music now more than ever, perhaps, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And we have friends and we have places in the States where we would love to come back and visit again and play again, and we used to travel to like New York every year for a number of years. So it's really sad for us to get this feeling that now is not a good time to go.
We even got married in New York.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to get a little perspective from outside of our own little area here.
Just to be specific, it's not about the Americans. It's about the system and... From
the current administration, yeah,
and how the media writes about how US are these days. It's kind of scary to sit and watch from here.
Yeah, well, believe me, it's scary to live in when you think World War III could come any day.
I can only imagine. Yeah, absolutely.
Folks can go to facebook.com/thedahlmans for information or to see how to order a copy of Life in Reverse, the new record. And I do urge folks to go and check out, if they're not familiar with the back catalog of the band, lots of great songs and great versions of other folks' songs. I noticed that you guys had 8 on the Underground Garage channel on Sirius Satellite Radio. Every week they have a coolest song in the world, and your songs have been the coolest song in the world 8 times in a row. Is that a thing that helps your career in a big way?
In Europe, not so much, but in the States, very. It's Steven has been a great help to promote the band and to reach out to people. So I don't think we would be talking to you if it weren't for Steven.
Anything else we need to talk about before I let you guys get back to afternoon in Norway?
I'd just like to mention that the label we're on at Fabcom Records, the US label. So if people want to order the album, check out the Fabcom Records.
Absolutely. Amazing label, Fabcom Records out of Boston. And we are giving away some copies of the record. So,
Cool.
Yeah. So we'll do the drawing just a few minutes from now. Still time to email me, michaels@wfmu.org, if you want to win a copy of Life in Reverse. Well, thank you, guys. I wish you the best of luck with this release. It's a really interesting record, a great listen. And I hope you do get here, or maybe I'll get to Norway, or you know, we get to see you guys soon.
I hope to see you in New York or New Jersey soon.
Absolutely, and thank you so much again for asking us to be part of the fundraiser again.
Oh, totally my pleasure. You guys have come through for us many, many times in a row, and I'm just been a huge fan of yours for a long time, so it's really our pleasure.
Oh, thank you
so much, Michael.